Given the events of the last week in our nation, I wanted to speak to you just briefly before we go to the word this morning, the message. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Much has changed this week. Nothing has changed this week. As American citizens, we may well be grieved or frustrated or angry. Some of us believe that the limits of power established in the Constitution have been ignored. There's been incredible overreach. In fact, the Constitution has been truncated. As John Piper has said, our frustration is rooted in our nation. What we believe to be inappropriate and sinful has been normalized and institutionalized this week. The problem we have with this is that in our past, we had an expectation that society's ideals, this is in America primarily, that society's ideals would support and encourage morality. And that hope is now gone. I believe personally that this week represented a tipping point in that issue. But as a citizen of heaven, we recognize that nothing has really changed. I love the line Russell Moore, the Southern Baptist Ethics Commission, his line in his statement this week, they can't put Jesus back in that tomb. The world system is, has been, and always will be the enemy of the gospel. I graduated from a Bible college from which the founder, G.B. Vick, would say at graduation to all of its graduates, we're sending you out into the world. The world today is no more a friend of ours than when they hung our Savior on the nails. What will be for us a new normal is more in accord with what our brothers and sisters have known all their lives, following Jesus in a hostile culture. The gospel doesn't need a so-called Christian America, even if there ever were such a thing. The gospel doesn't need that to flourish. And so I encourage you, and you've already done this, I'm sure, to read and reflect far more eloquent men than me. Al Mohler, John MacArthur, John Piper, Russell Moore, others have spoken to these issues. But this morning, for just a couple of minutes, I want to take some time to speak to our church, to our family as a church family, Christ Community Church. Let me remind you what hasn't changed. First of all, God is still sovereign. I was driving along, frustrated about these things and thinking about them. I was driving along Britmore, past all of those machine shops and all of those warehouses and factories, and they're on a sign in front of one of the machine shops where the words, "Let not your heart be troubled." And my heart was troubled. But Jesus is still Lord. What also hasn't changed is that God's word is still true and trustworthy. It will become more and more novel and quaint to hold that position in our culture, but we stand on it. That God's word is the only authority we have. What also hasn't changed is that God loves sinners, and so must we. And by the way, a reminder, we're all sinners apart from the gospel. We are redeemed, we are children of God, and yet none of us are that because we were worthy. And so we are on no different ground than others, and we are called to love them. And therefore, I would also remind you that the local church is still the hope of the world. Jesus has chosen to work and do his bidding and change hearts and lives and influence cultures, not through entertainment, not through media, not through journalism, not through the Supreme Court, but through a local church just like ours. And so here's what you can expect to the best of our ability as pastors and elders in this church moving forward. You can expect us to be committed to faithful, uncompromising preaching and teaching in our children's ministries, in our student ministries, and from the pulpit. You can also expect more attention and deeper clarity on these issues. The more the culture preaches things that are contrary to Scripture, the more clear and grounded we must be about what is true. You can also expect a more diligent pursuit of meaningfulness in membership. More than ever, there will be a distinction between the world around us and the church. And we have to own that. We have to be welcoming. We have to be loving. We have to be winsome. We have to be willing to invite anyone to come. But at the same time, to be part of the church family, you are making a statement about what you believe and subsequently how you will live. And therefore, you can expect us as a church to lean into those issues even more than we already have. And if you have a problem with church membership, you're likely to have a deeper problem as time goes on. Because the more the culture is contrary to what the church is, the more the church has to proclaim who we really are. And that involves a commitment to one another. And then the last thing you can expect from us is ever more eager, creative, and in view of last week's message, ever more shrewd efforts to love radically those who are outside Jesus. There are surely a few here today that think that this was a great victory this week. We're delighted you're here. Our disagreement with that decision and our disagreement with the way you've chosen to live, or perhaps the way you are tempted to live, does not mean we do not love you. It means that you struggle with a sinful thought, orientation, or lifestyle that, while different in some ways, is essentially a problem of sin that we all struggle with. Sinfulness still abides in our flesh. And we want you to know that the fact that we disagree with you doesn't mean we don't love you. And we hope that this place will always be known as a place that is full of grace. At the same time, we are full of truth. That's who we want to be as a church. We pray for our nation, but ultimately we are citizens of heaven. And while our fears are that this bodes ill for the future of our nation, we have every confidence that things are well in heaven. And that's where our ultimate citizenship resides. So we pray for our nation, but we pray for our church as well, that we will be full of grace and truth as we raise our families and as we love our neighbors and as we live for Jesus Christ.